Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right. Don't you wish you had been there when the disciples were arguing among themselves? I know. Can you imagine what they were saying? I mean, this is what I've got to believe. They totally cannot comprehend the second time that Jesus told them what was going to happen to him. And they just, like, ask no questions, kind of like, well, if we don't talk about it, maybe it won't happen, right? So in the beginning, he tells them what's going to happen to him, and then they go to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is the area that Jesus lived in, and it's where the disciples were called from. So they're kind of going home, and they can kind of kick back a little bit and relax. But on the way there, they start to argue. Who is the greatest among them? Now, has anybody here ever had an argument like that with somebody? Maybe not the greatest, who did the most. Come on, we're married, some of us. We have siblings, some of us. We've heard these before. So I can hear one of them saying, listen, I was called first. Okay, I was the first one. Or maybe the other one said, well, I had the most to move. Did you see everything that I walked away from? Or maybe somebody else said, listen, Jesus talks to me more than he talks to you. Or do you notice my seating? I'm always sitting right closer to Jesus, so I know that I am the one who is the greatest. And then you hear this going on, right? And then Jesus asks them the question, because he knows they're arguing, and he actually knows what they're arguing about. He says, so what are you arguing about? And this is one of my favorite things about this particular, sorry, I know you guys can't see me, so I'm going to move back. I apologize. I'm figuring out who can and who can't see me. So Jesus, the message, sorry, translation says, the silence was deafening. Do we not know that when we ask our kids something or something? The silence was deafening. It's almost as if you want to hear that snagged, right? The expressions on their faces had to be priceless. How about when you know you've been snagged in a conversation you shouldn't have had and you try not to make eye contact with the person? You look down, you look everywhere but that place. Who among them was the greatest? I think I'm doing this right. I did. All right. In today's reading, we heard the disciples saying they had been arguing with one another over who among them was the greatest. Interesting word, isn't it? The greatest. We tend to have our own opinions about greatness, don't we? As a matter of fact, some people have become self-proclaimed the greatest. So if you think of sports, ready for this one? Who is that? Muhammad Ali. Yes, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. Right? I am the greatest. How about some rock and roll band? They call themselves the greatest rock and roll band. Has it stuck over the years? Yeah, now they're basically called the greatest rock and roll band. Okay, here's one that you might not know. I'm trying to figure out all this. Ready for this one?
Barnum,
1800s. He was the greatest showman. They just did a movie for those of us that might not have realized just how he really broke into the entertainment. It was one of the first to break into the entertainment world. Speaking of entertainment, have you ever seen a group that has had more awards than anybody else? Think about it. The Emmys, the Oscars, the Tonys, the Grammys, right? So if you were to say, what's the greatest movie of all time? Yeah. Anybody remember that film? The Godfather. You just even mentioned The Godfather and somebody would say, oh my gosh, that was the greatest movie of all time. Greatness. Greatness. We're fixated on it. As a matter of fact, when there's Oscar categories or Emmy categories and they best actress, used to be one category, right? Best actress. Now it's best actress in a drama, best actress in a comedy, best actress in this. Because it's like, it's such a great, great category. We are so focused on the best. As a matter of fact, Fortune magazine? Yeah. Number one, Fortune 100 best companies to work for. They are always having these types. You're laughing, right? They always have these types of things. How do we define greatness in the United States? We define it based on our status. We define it based on our wealth. We define it based on our achievement. What have we done? What have we accumulated? And who are we socializing with? What parties do we get invited to? How many of you remember? So it goes in the order of first to last. When I was a kid growing up in New York, there was this, anybody hear the term RIF before, R-I-F? Reading is fundamental. Anybody remember those advertisements that they did and there'd be the bookmobile that would come through and it was totally, these just public service announcements with reading is fundamental. Well, I'm about 25 years old working in the corporate world and I get this memo or this, well, there was no email. I get a memo. There's going to be RIFs. I'm like, the heck? I know reading is fundamental. What does that mean? No. I quickly learned in the corporate world what RIF means, R-I-F. It means reduction in force. It does. And so we were to come to a meeting as managers, and we were to rank order our folks. Anybody's here is a manager, they know exactly what that feels like when you have to do it. If you have 10 employees, you rank them in the order. Your top performer, your least performer. And it's performance-based alone. 1 to 10. And the reduction in force is that 10% of your bottom people go. That's it. They just go. That's how it's done. God says the exact opposite of that. Because if you've ever been involved in that, that's not a fun thing to have to do. Jesus responds and he tells them, what's going to happen? Is he not the greatest? And what's going to happen to him? He says that I'm going to the cross, I'm going to be murdered, but I will rise from the dead. They are clueless on what Jesus is saying and they don't even ask him any questions about it. I have a funny feeling that that's what led to the next conversation that they started having. You see, when you don't want to talk about something that's painful, you'll talk about something else. And so they decided to focus on the greatest because in their minds, they're probably thinking, Jesus is the great Messiah. I don't want to even deal with that. Hey, who among us now is the greatest? And that's the conversation that they have. What does Jesus do? He takes a child when they get into the home and they're alone. Now, a child today is someone that we celebrate. It's a person. It's a miracle. We look at Marissa. We gather around her. We want to hold her. All children, they're precious. They're adorable. They just, you know, they have a different status today than what they had in the ancient world. In the ancient world, a child was always dependent on someone, as today, had a low social status, was extremely vulnerable, powerless, had no voice. No one took care of them, especially after someone died. They were at the mercy of the ones who had power. They had status, had no status, and they had no rights. So for us today, we know children have rights. We do know they're vulnerable, and that's why we care for them so deeply. It's just so different. So I want you to think today, who are the children that Jesus is talking about in our world today? Jesus isn't talking about Marissa. Jesus is talking about a different group of children. What might the child Jesus is talking about look like today? Who are the powerless? Who has no voice? Who are the ones that are vulnerable? Who are the ones that have no status or have a low social status? Who are the ones that are at the mercy of those in power? Who are the ones that have no rights? Perhaps, just perhaps, the children of today could look like someone who's on welfare. Perhaps the children of today that Jesus are talking about are those that are living on the streets. Those who are uneducated, those who are unable to read or write. Perhaps it is those who are unable to speak the language in the country in which they are living, or they can't speak it enough to express themselves, that they are looked upon as being less than. Perhaps it's someone that's fleeing a country that is corrupt or fleeing a country that has such incredible violence. Perhaps it's someone who, you know what, just gave up and needed to escape this world, and through the escape became addicted to some type of a mood-altering substance. Jesus said, whoever embraces one of these, think of the children that I just named, the ones this society deems last, the least, the not worth it, these are the ones that come first in my kingdom. If you love and embrace one of these the very same way I do, you are loving and you are embracing me. That is a world that looks completely different than the world we live in, especially the world here in the Western Hemisphere and the United States. It's a really hard notion for us to grasp, because what are we taught from when we are little? We're taught to ascend the social ladder, aren't we? God says no. Descend it. We're taught to accumulate wealth. God says no. You take what you need and you give the rest away. God says don't seek the company of the powerful, but welcome and care for those who have no status. Because God's grace is for all. And the world, and yes, the religious establishment of that time, and perhaps even today, doesn't like that. Because it destroys the world's notion of greatness. Greatness that is based on status, power, and achievement and wealth. Now, it's not going to be easy to be great on Jesus' terms. It's easier to be great on the world's terms, isn't it? Not easy on Jesus' terms. Jesus tells us what it takes to be great. We're to be humble. We're to be lowly, we're to be vulnerable, we're to walk with, we're to speak for. Each day, Jesus calls us to work on being that kind of great here in a world in which that kind of great is seen as not being great. We're going to fail. We're going to fail every day because the world tells us we're crazy and the pressure will be intense. And each day, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to fail. But we have the chance, because of grace, to pick ourselves up and to try it again. Because even though we fail in that greatness, that doesn't mean that we don't stop trying. We have a gracious, forgiving, and merciful God who calls us to follow, who knows we won't get it perfect all the time, but teaches us the way of life. When we fail to be true servants and embrace the ones Jesus embraces, to be last, we pick ourselves up again and we try again. It's hard, it's risky, it's going to be very painful. But this graciousness truly is the path of life. Amen. Amen.